don't know if I'll have the wind tonight. I had a little bronchial type of a problem, and I want you to pray for me. It's odd because it's only when I talk that it seems to affect me. Maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something. I need to spend more time listening and less time talking. One thing I do enjoy, though, is I enjoy attempting to preach, especially when the Lord would see fit to bless. There's nothing that satisfies me more than to be with the Lord's people when the Lord would meet together with us. As we hesitated with the text, it seemed like the Lord provided one, and we'll see if there's water in the hole, and if the Lord would turn the water into wine for us. Get over here in Timothy. As the Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher, and we suppose he was young, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth." Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of things about my youth that I despise, a lot of things about my past that I hate. But I believe the apostle there is speaking of age and not history. Because there's a lot of things that I know you would despise in my past, as I do. But in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, it says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." We want to notice the authority that the apostle speaks to Timothy with. He speaks to him as a father. And this indeed was a father-son relationship that he had. Not a natural relationship like my father and my son, but a spiritual relationship of father and son. The apostle was a father in the ministry, Timothy, which shows us a pattern. And I thank God that the Lord has blessed me with some fathers in the ministry, particularly the time I was able to spend with Elder Humble. Is an invaluable experience. And I see God's providential hand all over it, and I'll go to my grave believing that God was instrumental in bringing our paths together. But he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," he says, "the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And I believe here is a pattern that we have that's shining from the scriptures of how that this has been handed down from the apostles to the ministry. And I believe, verily, brethren, through the power of God and His providential hand, that this succession has been intact. And that is, when the apostles were sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, they were called out and sent. Likewise, the apostle recognized the gift that was in Timothy and Titus and the others, laid hands upon them, and they too were given, in a more limited sense, the gift. Now, in the Acts of the Apostles, we recognize a time when the ministry was taxed, and they were unable to wait upon the tables and take care of the widows. And there was a time when they had met together and decided to choose out 7 faithful men, full of the Holy Ghost, and to lay hands on them, that they would be able to handle the business matters of the church that the apostles or that the ministry would be able to serve, study the Word of God, and to be instant in prayer and be continuing in prayer. But we also recognize that there were some gifts imparted in this particular case, where the laying on of hands came with great power from the apostles. In fact, it was so great that there was one named Simon that wanted to buy it. He wanted to buy that power. And it was not something that could be sold, but it was something that God, again, through his providence, was instrumental in. So we could recognize the pattern here. And the apostles not only laid hands on the ministry brethren, but also laid hands upon the deacon brethren as well. And they prayed over them. We recognize the time when they set the apostle Paul and Barnabas apart for the ministry, that they fasted, the church fasted, and in prayer, before they laid hands upon them. And I think there's another pattern for the New Testament church, that it's a serious thing when you lay hands upon a man. But we're backing up as we get to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Pray that the Lord would help us to see some things here as we can back our way to this thing called the Great Commission. Now, a commission is something that you might consider to be authority. The commission is also something that is a command. It's giving a command with the backing of the authority. And we notice here in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 19. Actually, we'll start at verse 16. He says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So we recognize the captive audience that the Lord Jesus had when this commission was given. First, we must recognize who it was that was in the congregation here. And we had the 11 apostles gathered together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was in a time after the Lord had been resurrected from the dead. And he was among them for 40 days. Shortly before his ascension back into the heavens, he gave this commission, a command. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, one of the reasons why this is so important for us is because if the commission was not given to the apostles as the scriptures plainly show, and if this was given to the church, then the church for 2,000 years has been in gross negligence and stands negligent and in contempt of the commission that Christ gave the apostles. That means we stand guilty because the church has not practiced the commission as the Lord gave it to the apostles. And I'm thankful that we recognize that the commission was given to the apostles and not to the church. And therefore, brethren, the church has been just fine for 2,000 years. It doesn't need to be fixed. It's not something that all of a sudden here 2,000 years later, all of a sudden we have a revelation and decide that it was given to the church after all. Because it was given to the apostles. And there are some texts that we can go to prove that. But first, logic will teach us that it was given to the apostles. And that means that if this commission to go out and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end, amen. If this was given to the church, if you follow this out to its furthest degree, you're going to find church members with the authority to baptize. Every single one of them, including the youngest member, having the authority to baptize perhaps any joiner that comes to present themselves to the Old Baptist Church. So you could follow it to the furthest degree. Likewise, if the commission was given to the church, then the church would be responsible to knock on doors and never rest. And that means that it would be our lot, as is the lot of some under a misunderstanding, that it is our responsibility to take the gospel to every creature out there in broadcast form. That means that it would become our responsibility to buy every radio station that we can possibly afford and every television broadcast that we can afford, and to launch the troops in an organized fashion, canvassing neighborhoods, preaching the gospel from door to door. And brethren, if the commission was given to the church now, carrying it to its furthest extreme, you can see how the church has been in great neglect of this thing. And I'm thankful that God has set the pattern in such a way that He takes care of it on both ends. And we can just say from experience that as excited as we become about the gospel, especially as it's first opened up to us, and God would reveal it to us. I don't know about you, but the thing I wanted to do was spend time visiting with folks about it. I wanted everybody to see it just like I did. And I spent more time speaking to a wall that didn't respond. There was just nothing there on the other side. In fact, many times when I would try to share the truth that the Lord has given me, I found that it would meet with resistance and anger and argument. And you can see how it's instrumental that the Lord do the sending, that the Lord be instrumental on both ends of this equation, just as He was with Peter and Cornelius, and just as He was with Saul of Tarsus and Ananias. You see, He was instrumental on both ends of this thing, working both ends. And if the Lord was not working on one end, it would come to naught. It would meet with resistance. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We go over to the Colossian letter with the Apostle Paul writing here to the church at Colossae. And we can see how this church was blessed above measure, and how the Lord had poured His Spirit out upon them to the point where the news had spread. And oh, I would to God that the Fort Smith Church would be filled with the Holy Ghost to such a degree that everybody in the region would hear about it. Did you hear how the Lord's been blessing that church over there? Well, this is exactly the news of the church at Colossae. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. He says, which is come unto you. And it was obvious that the word of truth, the gospel, had reached them, and they rejoiced in it, brethren, to a degree where the news had spread. Which is come unto you, he says, as it is in all the world. He says that the gospel had come into the church at Colossae just like it had in all the world. And we recognize that Paul recognized that the gospel had been spread and the commission to a degree had been fulfilled. He says over here in Romans, and I'll thank Brother James for this in a phone call one evening. He says in verse 14 of Romans chapter 10, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? He says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And I know that these preacher brethren can relate. Because there are times when I have felt to be all alone in front of God's people, and I sent myself. I felt like I did nothing more than get the energy up and send myself to preach. But the Lord certainly didn't manifest His presence with me in the sending. And there's a lonely place to be. Happened to me 1,800 miles away from home. And that was a long airplane ride on the way back. When I did the sending, caused me to recognize the seriousness. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, the Lord, who hath believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In verse 18 he says, but I say, have they not all heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. Now who is he talking about here? And I think this cinches it. Because here is the apostle considering the other 11. He says, their sound went into all the earth. And their words unto the end of the world. So the apostle recognizing that their sound went into all the earth, and their word into all of the world. You see, as far as Paul is concerned, the commission was fulfilled. He said it had already gone out into all the world, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. If we go over to the Ephesian letter, we look over in chapter 2. He says in verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I'm thankful that the middle wall of partition has been broke down between us. Thankful for that. In fact, when that middle wall of partition was broke down between us, you can see it manifested as, wasn't it Paul and Barnabas that were sent to preach, but these Jews just wouldn't hear it. It was kind of like our experience of going to someone and sharing the good news of the gospel, but it falling on complete and total deaf ears, a hardened heart and blinded eyes. The apostle and Barnabas said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. You can see, in fact, this may have been one of the very occasions where the fulfillment of that had taken place, where he says, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And thank God that we've been blessed as Gentiles with the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. But he says, and now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And notice what we're built upon. He says, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles. The apostles, he says, set this foundation. And the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the foundation has been laid by the apostles. They've set the foundation, they've set it in order, and they fulfilled and poured that slab, if you will, that they were sent to pour. He says, in whom the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple unto the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We're a spiritual building. We'll go back over here into Matthew, and then we'll bring our remarks to a close. And text in chapter 16 where he says, and he saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, given unto the apostles was the power to bind and to loose. And a portion of their responsibility through the inspiration of God is His Word. And the boundaries have been set by the apostles in His Word. And we're not permitted to go outside of